January 16th. With us, we have Representative Miller, Representative Johnson, Representative Sadler, myself, Chair Olson. We should have the rest of the committee joining us shortly.
Miller's not here.
Let's try Thompson. Is that better?
Thank you.
Miller won't be here.
Right.
Representative Miller. Everybody, please turn off their BlackBerries, cell phones. We haven't had any donuts all session, have we? No. We're waiting for the first. We have one item on the agenda. It's a carryover from public testimony on House Bill 125, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. We heard this bill last Wednesday where we had the presentation and took limited testimony. We're going to see how much additional testimony we can get through today. And it looks like it might be doable. I request that the people that are calling in and the people in the audience limit their testimony to 5 minutes. We will probably end up with a lot more people than what we're starting with. And let's see. I think we'll start in the room. Bernie Carl, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Please come up and state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you for traveling all the way down from Chena Hot Springs to be here with us today.
Well, I couldn't testify last week, so I thought I would come here, sir, and because it's that important.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. I really appreciate the testimony of last week. And I believe that Representative Hawker...
Oh, can you please state your name and affiliation?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bernie Carl, K-A-R-L. I'm the general manager, and I am married to the owner of Chena Hot Springs Resort. I work for my wife. Women are smarter than men.
Oh, this will get you far in the world.
They're harder workers than a man, and they're much tougher than a man.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a moment to... acknowledge that Representative Holmes has joined us. Please continue.
And I have been blessed because I learned a long time ago those things about women. I was born number 6 of 16 children, been up in Alaska here most of my life, most of it north of the 68th parallel, so I have a real respect for Alaska. I am in support of moving the ABC board out of the Department of Corrections and moving it to House Labor and Commerce. And the reason, I'm not moving to House Labor, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I thought that was an intentional joke.
I don't want that job.
You guys aren't asleep, so you guys pass. And the reason that it needs to be moved to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development is because we're talking about strictly taking something in a licensing procedure and moving it. I can tell you that I've had... I've had a terrible experience dealing with the ABC board, not the board, with their being in the troopers. They come out to Chena Hot Springs December of last year and decided that they would do a sting operation. We passed the sting operation with flying colors, and the more that we passed it, the more upset the officer was getting. He had 2 underage kids with him. And now you got to understand, at that time we'd been in business for 11 years and never had an infraction of any kind. And I heard testimony last week of how basically the people that are against us are just, I wish I could quote it exactly, but we are dubious, and let me see if I can come up with the right word.
Miscreant.
Pardon me?
Miscreant.
Yes. Thank you, sir. That's exactly what they said. And I take offense to that. I'm going to tell you that 99.9999% of the people that are in the liquor business in the state of Alaska are good people, just like you, trying to make a living and doing the best job they can to add to the economy of the state of Alaska.
And the problem when you deal with these people, and the reason more people will not come forward like I'm coming today and tell you of the tales of woe, is because we fear reprisal. Because we're trying to make a living. I am motivated by huge debt load. And let me tell you, when you're motivated by debt load, it's the real motivation. I don't know about you guys, but I'm up at 4 a.m. every morning, and I don't need an alarm clock. And I promise you, I'm the last one to go to bed. So you fear that you're going to get screwed with, because you will. Not only were they upset that we did not pass, but then when everyone had their TAM card, including me, the officer was really upset. And then he decided that he would start doing a compliance check. And then he decided that our liquor store, we had to shut it down because it wasn't properly located. Well, we didn't. We bought it from the state of Alaska. And he said, well, you know that rules are different for the state than they are for the private sector. And I probably got in trouble. I did say bullshit, I will be honest with you. And I mean, that's absolute facts, sir. I did say that. And then we go over and he decides he's going to do a compliance check of the ice museum. Now, we've had a bar in the ice museum, and I want to tell you it's been approved. Now, Forbes magazine voted it the dumbest business idea of the year in 2004. They said, how could you be so stupid as to take and have something melt? I told them I took a frozen asset and turned it to a liquid one. And I tell them, when Forbes can kiss my, I'm not allowed to say the word, my wife said I can't say it, but it's the same thing you're setting on, Mr. Chairman. And anyway, Forbes can kiss it. He was born with a silver spoon, probably a golden spoon. Anyway, we sell the water for $4.95. It's got three drops of water in a little vial in a postcard. And it says, if you want a frozen asset, put it in the freezer. If you want a liquid one, take it out. I sold 8,000 the first, 8,000 the second, 8,000 the third, 8,000 the fourth, 8,000 like hotcakes. We just had 500,000 more made. If I sell 1 million postcards a year at $4.95 a piece, call me stupid. So we go over and do a compliance check of the ice museum. That's not why they're there. They're there to do a sting, right? The sting failed. And I want to tell you, when the sting fails, they are pissed. And they will do anything to bring you down. Anything to bring you down. He decides that the ice museum has to be closed. I get a letter from them, a certified letter, that I have to close on December the 30th or December 31st. Now, that's my busiest season. And I got to close because they say I've been running an illegal bar. Yet we had it approved. We had all the paperwork and it was approved. So I went right to the governor's office. And then I started working. I did not get the due process of law. They just sent me the letter, close down in your busiest season. Just close down. That's how they're there to help you. So I want to tell you, they need to move. And you're still going to have all the same amount of protection. Now, you can check my record with the troopers. I'm going to tell you, we don't let anyone. I mean, if there was some way I could do away with alcohol, I would do away with it. But that isn't the real world. And you're not here today, and I'm not here today to tell you that you should do away with alcohol. I'm here to tell you that this needs to be moved. And to have it in the troopers really makes no sense. You're still going to get the same amount of oversight. And I can see that there's been a couple of good things happen here. I will say that Mrs. Grifford, who runs the ABC board, it looks to me like she is trying to make things better. So I do want to give her a pat on the back, because she is trying, it looks like.
It's probably good because she's sitting behind you.
I don't give a shit. I don't still say it. I mean, you know, right's right and wrong's wrong. But here's the situation. You'll notice that I saw somewhere where she put something in here where when they're coming out there to do a sting, then they're not going to do the same officer's not going to do the compliance check. I would like to think she thought about that after I got done being a pain in the rear. But to make it, they want to make everyone a criminal. And we're not criminals. And we take great offense to being brought as a criminal or being brought up as a criminal. Now, what they should be doing, which they don't do any of, that's why it needs to get away from the troopers. They should be focusing on education. They should join lockstep with CHAR. And they should send their officers with the young people that the sting, and they should go into third grade classes and teach the third graders why you shouldn't drink. That's what they should be doing. I'll tell you, I only talked to third graders. And 26 years ago, I started with third grade classes talking about recycling. I don't spend one dime on, not one dime, on advertising. I only speak to third graders. And I can tell you that my business grows at about 100% a year by working with third graders. They go home, their minds are not all cluttered, they're like little sponges. And I just told 500 of them over at Joy Elementary School, I gave a little talk on recycling, and I told them, I said, if your parents throw something away they're not recycling, go up and kick them. And boy, the teachers like almost spit up. But these kids are recycling. You can't believe the amount of stuff they recycle. One young kid in second grade said, Mr. Carl, you said that you can recycle anything. I said, yes, sir, that's right. How about body parts? So I pulled out my billfold, and I showed him. I showed him that I have a heart on my driver's license, and I'm an organ donor. And I said, if you're not an organ donor, you should go home and tell your parents you want to be, and your parents should be. And I said, then you get recycled. Somebody's going to use my heart because I have a big one. And they're going to use my lungs because I have good ones. And they're going to use my legs because they're good. I said, so they're going to recycle me. And I said, they should do the same thing to you. That isn't what he wanted to hear, but I promise you, I got a call from his parents, and now they're now organ donors, and so is he. So I'm telling you, that's what the ABC board should be doing. They should be involved in education, and they should join with CHAR to do it. CHAR does an excellent job of educating. It's just mixed up, sir. And you need to
correct. Can you wrap it up, please?
Pardon?
Can you wrap it up, please?
I'm done, sir.
Oh, can you give that letter to Mr. Jackson, and we will circulate it to the
committee. Well, I don't have a letter with me.
Oh, no, the one you were holding up.
No. If you'd like, I'll send you the whole file if you want it. Scare the hell out of you. You'd like it.
We're taking anything that comes in the door.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a copy for all of you. It's pretty intense because it's got everything.
Make one and either give it to him or fax it up to us, and we'll put it out.
You've got, I'll get you a full dossier sent down to you, sir.
Thank you. And we'll scan it, and it'll be available. We can send it out to everybody in the room, and Ms. Gifford and anybody else.
Ms. Gifford's got it all. I will tell you, when they went to find my file, it was kind of interesting. I asked for a copy of my file. I could only get it going through the governor's office. The governor's office had to ask for it. And I had more in my file than they had in theirs, so they have some real trouble with their paperwork, too. I guess they're working on that, but it's been a real problem.
Well, thanks again. Any questions for Mr. Carl?
Sorry. I'll answer any questions. I'll try to.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not your first trip down here, as I recall.
This is my first rodeo, yes.
Okay, you called in on judiciary last year?
I have called in a few times.
Yeah. But
I couldn't get heard last week, so I figured I'd better come.
Yeah. Thanks again.
I was heard this time.
Kate Burkhart.
He needs assertiveness training. Assertiveness training.
I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Johnson.
I've been here the whole time.
You've been here the whole time?
I just haven't said anything, and that's unusual.
I thought you snuck in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kate Burkhart. I'm the Executive Director of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. A quick disclaimer before my comments. The Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse was created by statute to serve as an advisory body on issues related to alcohol and drugs in Alaska. We are located within the Department of Health and Social Services. However, we do not speak for the Department of Health and Social Services. So my comments today are on behalf of the board members only. The Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse does not support moving the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board from the Department of Safety. And our reasoning behind that, as I'll explain, has to do with what we perceive of as the potential outcomes. I want to expressly share our appreciation for all the folks involved in this conversation, which, as the sponsor explained last time we were all here, can be an adversarial conversation. It is not an issue from our perspective of good guys and bad guys. We are not here, and we don't see this as an issue of whether or not alcohol is good or bad. For us, the issue is where can the ABC board continue to fulfill its statutory duties to the best possible degree and continue to make progress improving those issues that have been identified as areas for improvement. You heard from Ms. Davidson from legislative audit last time about improvements at the ABC board, and we are concerned that a potential move could either retard or halt those improvements. The ABC board controls not just licensing, but also the manufacture, barter, possession, and sale of alcoholic beverages in Alaska. And while that duty is assigned to them by statute, it's not one that they undertake alone. The retailers of alcoholic beverages in Alaska invest time, energy, and money to ensure that only lawful sales are made, whether to youth or to adults. And that's something that needs to be expressly acknowledged. Many retailers have strong histories of responsible sales practices and community efforts to promote responsible consumption, and those efforts shouldn't be minimized. However, as the data from 2009 shows, not all retailers are at the same level of compliance with the law as some of those really strong retailers. It also doesn't mean that we should assume that retailers are the only source of alcohol for underage drinkers. While it is a source of alcohol, retail installations, improper purchases for young people by adults who should be exercising better judgment are also a problem, and that's something the ABC board has within their purview to identify and deal with what they call the shoulder tap checks. But we need to acknowledge as well that home liquor cabinets and bootlegging are other ways that young people gain access to alcohol. Part of what motivates the intense rhetoric around this issue is the fact that misuse and abuse of alcoholic beverages are major contributors to social issues in Alaska like crime and violence, and especially family dysfunction. I want to reiterate that it's the misuse and abuse of alcoholic beverages. It's not the alcohol, and it's not the retailers. It's the way that the alcohol is used. Alaska's rate of alcohol-induced deaths is 3 times the national average. Nationally, a third of suicide victims test positive for alcohol. In Alaska, our limited data on that issue shows that 44% of decedents have had alcohol in their system at the time of death. We're 11th in the nation for adults reporting binge drinking. And in 2009, 22% of high school students surveyed in the Youth Risk Behavior Survey reported binge drinking in the past month. The American Medical Association reports that underage drinking is a factor in nearly half of all teen car crashes, and teen car crashes are the leading cause of death among teenagers. Youth who begin drinking before the age of 14 are more likely to develop dependence, and in Alaska, the estimated number of adults who are dependent on alcohol is almost 20,000. That's the context behind a lot of the comments and concerns around this issue. Alaskans interested in addressing underage drinking and improving the quality of life for families have participated in multiple planning efforts and strategy developments over the years. In 2007, there were a series of town hall meetings around this issue in Anchorage, Juneau, Valdez, Fairbanks, Galena, Yakutat, Nome, and Sitka. Stakeholders at those town hall meetings identified the importance of compliance checks and a robust system of ensuring only lawful sales as part of, not the only tool, but part of the tools necessary for ensuring that we prevent and reduce underage drinking. And that's in alignment with national strategies. During the same period of time, the Alaska Highway Safety Office was working with stakeholders on the Strategic Highway Safety Plan. Those stakeholders came up to the same conclusion. In 2009, a whole new series of town hall meetings around the plan to reduce and prevent underage drinking occurred, this time in 16 more communities for a total of 22. That need to have strong compliance checks in our toolbox was emphasized again, and that tool is emphasized in both those plans. For us, a major issue is the outcome of a potential move. So we looked at states where alcoholic beverage control is located in a non-law enforcement agency to see how things go there. We compared Alaska, Delaware, Idaho, Kentucky, and New Jersey, where the ABC board is in a public safety or law enforcement agency, to five other states, Colorado, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, and Missouri, where it's all a non-law enforcement agency. And we looked at two things, their youth risk behavior survey data around youth alcohol abuse or use, and the rate of alcohol-related teen car crash fatalities. In both instances, the indication of youth alcohol use was greater in those states where the ABC board was in a non-law enforcement agency. More importantly, those states, Colorado, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, and Missouri, all had higher reported rates in lifetime use, any lifetime use, sometimes as much as 6% higher than Alaska's current rate, 3 to 10% higher reports of having had alcohol before the age of 13, and 1 to 7% higher reports of having had alcohol at least once in the last month. For us, this is a big deal, because since 1995, we've been able to decrease youth alcohol use in Alaska dramatically. 13.5% less youth report any lifetime use, almost 20% report less use before the age of 13, almost 15% less use in the last 30 days, and almost 10% less binge drinking by youth. Those are substantial decreases, and we wouldn't want to see that downward trend start swooping upward. Looking at the rate of alcohol-related underage teen fatalities due to car crashes, the national rate for people under 21 dying in an alcohol-related car crash was 2 out of 100,000. Alaska's was 1.4. Yay, we're below the national average for something. The approximate mean of seven states that have alcohol control within law enforcement or public safety agencies was right along with us at the national average or below. However, looking at states where the alcohol control agency is in a department not related to law enforcement, the average rate was 3.6, which is 2.5 times that of states that treat alcoholic beverage control as a law enforcement responsibility. It's for this kind of reason that we are concerned about the proposed move. We encourage instead support for better communication and collaboration between the retail industry and the ABC board. It's important to note that the industry has a lot to offer in this area of ensuring lawful sales. As a board, we've had the benefit of partnering with CHAR and its affiliates on fetal alcohol spectrum disorder prevention efforts, and they have a lot to offer and to teach, and we encourage support for increased collaboration between the ABC board and retailers to take advantage of ideas and strength of both sides of the coin. However, we're very concerned that a move to a new agency will stop the progress being made to improve performance by the ABC board and could result in changes in areas where we're making a lot of progress. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Any questions for Ms. Burkhart? Thanks again. Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify? Please join us. Good afternoon. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, my name is Belen Cook, and I currently am on the ABC Board of Directors. I've been on a little over 2 years. I hold one of the public seats, and I think it was in March or April of last year. Now I also am on the rural seat, since I fit that category. What I am going to talk about, I have limited experience. I've not been on the board a lot, so I'm going to give you what I see of as my perspective. I am in opposition of the board moving to Commerce. What I've seen at the board meetings, everything when we have violations that have come, I don't see the people that come before us feeling like the ABC board's out to get them. I've heard, like in Cordova, that there seems to be more of an openness of ABC being their ducks in a row. And I will give you an example of a positive thing. When Kotzebue decided to go wet, we were at a board meeting. I mean, this had happened, you know, there's discussion, and then they decided. We were in a board meeting in Anchorage, and usually we meet in Nome for our September meeting. And one of our board members, Joe, said, well, with Kotzebue voting to go wet, let's go to Kotzebue. So we thought that was a good idea. We enjoyed it very much. When we got to Kotzebue, you know, we had our meeting, but we first had comments, public comments, and we had...
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did they go wet or did they go damp?
I believe they went wet. Let me ask Shirley. Did they not go wet?
Damp.
Or damp. I'm sorry. Okay. My apologies. Okay. As I said, I'm new. But anyway, we had the public comment, and also Kotzebue decided that they were going to have a local ABC board. So they could, you know, monitor how they were going to do everything. And so they proceeded to do that. They also worked with the ABC staff with policies and procedures, with enforcement. And anyway, as I said in the public comment, we had the city manager. Many of the board members were there and some just regular citizens. And we got a lot of praise. They said that it was great that they could call Shirley and talk to her, someone else in staff, and actually talk to a real person instead of going through automated or many phone calls. And it had been a pleasure to work with the ABC staff, that they had gone out of their way to make sure that everything had gone smooth. So I use that as an example of how I've seen the ABC board work. And I think that it will be disruptive for them to be moved. So that is all I have to say. Do you have questions of me?
No, I've got a statement. Sometimes a first set of eyes looking at something can oftentimes be as good or better than somebody that's knee deep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
Anybody else in the room besides Shirley Gifford, who we're probably going to bring up at the end again, but is there anybody else? Well, I guess we get to go outside of the building. How about Larry Hackenmiller, Fairbanks? Are you with us, Larry?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and affiliation, and thank you in advance for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Hackenmiller. I'm with the Interior Cabaret Hotel Restaurant Retailers Association, and I'm going to try and stay on point here and basically reflect what the audit committee indicated with regard to this move and support the move from the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Commerce, because I feel that's more of what the original mandate was when the ABC board came into existence. And in the August meeting there, the ABC board acknowledged that, to this committee, the Audit Review Committee, or subcommittee, that they would continue to perform its enforcement oversight duties regardless of what department it operates under. And the Department of Public Safety also indicated the same thing. It would not have any impact. And they would continue to assist the ABC board with enforcement and compliance. Now, you remember all the different opinions coming out today probably won't change anything regardless of what department the ABC board is under, but it is quasi-judicial. It does have hearings. It does have authorities, and they can issue citations and so on. This new thing about, giving officers their weapons and so on and so forth and getting more into a public safety role. I don't know. That was tried once when they were under revenue. It did not work. The commissioner took away that authority. Don't know why, but now they're starting to get it again. So that's not going to change either. If they need weapons, then they'll get weapons. But the key here is that nothing will change with regards to what the operations are. The sting operations that take place now, I think that's more based on funding than it is anything else. So it's definitely not department related, which department's going to get it. If the funding's available for it, they're going to get it. There was one mentioning of the statistics regarding non-compliance where they did catch servers serving alcohol to a minor. We can't hire perfect people. And sometimes they're not as diligent as they could be. So you're always going to catch one or two. But There is certainly no indication outside of that one or two that you're going that would indicate that there's really having something to do with the underage minor problem. If it was such a problem, you know, during the stings, you got to remember now what they do is they send the kid in there. The sting head doesn't even go into the building anymore. He sends the kid in. If they pass, the kid gives him a card and says, "You just passed." So they go back out again. Now, if they do catch a bartender, why don't they go in and see, gee, this bartender got caught serving a minor. Maybe there's more minors in there. You know, if you look at it, you'll probably show a record, and this is public safety or the ABC board, of where they did catch bartenders serving minors, but did they catch any minors? I think they probably got 10 bartenders versus the zero minors, and you would think that if this was as rampant as everyone implies it is, or what these things would imply the necessity for, that maybe they'd go in. You know, I'd like to see the investigator. By the way, he's one that's armed as well, to go and at least check some ID cards to see if it is a problem. Otherwise, if not, without that type of activity, which you think would be standard or common in a sting or in a compliance check, basically it looks like all they want to do is catch a bartender. So this is some of the things that we're concerned about. We do monitor, and we have learned to train our staffs better with regard to minors on premises. In Anchorage there, they even go so far as to use the civil penalty. They're averaging about 300 minors per year coming in and trying to purchase alcohol. It hasn't dropped any, so the kids, I guess, with their rite of passage have to do this and get busted and pay the fine. We never did that, of course, when we were that age. No. But the key is, it's been stated before, even in the August meeting, the ABC board said it wouldn't make any difference which department. It wouldn't affect their enforcement or anything else. The public safety department, same thing. But it is actually a licensing authority. It's an administrative authority, and it has autonomy regardless of what department it's in. And I think the move is a proper move. Thank you.
Thank you very much. David Lambert, are you with us?
Yes, Dave Lambert here. I own two beverage dispensary licenses, and over the years...
Could you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Dave Lambert. I own two beverage dispensary licenses here in Fairbanks.
Please continue.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, please
over
continue.
Over the years, dealing with the department, it was like you were being a criminal all the time. It's a lot better since Ms. Griffin's been in there. We can allow to answer questions. But it's in the wrong department. I'm sure that the people working for the department like to be in that department because they get the 20 years and out retirement with public safety. But that's not what we're looking at. If it was in the proper department, then DEC, the court system, and all your licensing should be with public safety, and that's not the case. We're talking about licensing issues, and DEC and all these others have enforcement powers, Department of Revenue, and none of those are under public safety. It's in the wrong department. They need to emphasize more education for the people and for the employees, and let's get it moved to the right department. We have these do-gooders that are anti-alcohol, and, you know, they're talking about 7, 8-year-olds, 13-year-olds. They're not the ones going in and buying. And whether this is in public safety or a different one, that's not going to help. It's the education. But let's do the right thing and get this moved into the proper organization. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lambert. Dick Ellsworth, are you with us?
Yes, sir. This is Dick Ellsworth. I have Ivory Jacks out in the beautiful Goldstream Valley up here in Fairbanks, Alaska. It's right in the heart of the business district. We have a off-premise and an on-premise all under the same roof and a nice restaurant with decent prices on prime rib on Friday night.
Yeah, this is streaming live all over the world, so you just got a free ad.
Nice. Appreciate it.
Anyway, I pretty much feel the same way that Larry J. Hackenmiller and Dave Lambert feel, so I won't reiterate anything. But I do want to tell you that I think the National League should, the Major League Baseball should adopt a designated hitting rule. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks again for taking the time to participate. Next, I think we'll go to Bill Bishop. Kodiak, are you with us, Bill?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Welcome to Kodiak. My name is William Bishop. I'm a CCM. I'm a 40-year resident of Kodiak, Alaska. I'm representing my wife. I'm like the first gentleman. I work for my wife and my son now that I've sort of semi-retired a little bit. I bring 50 years of experience in management and ownership to the beverage industry, Mr. Chairman. I'm a former chairman of the ABC board, 4 years under the Hickel administration, 1 year under the Knowles governorship. Also, Mr. Chairman, and distinguished members of the House Rules Committee, first let me thank you and your staff for the quick response to our correspondence on House Bill 125. Mr. Chairman, we're here today asking support for House Bill 125. Mr. Chairman, the beverage industry have a lot of hardworking people, and they deal with the public. And as you know, lots of times that is a difficult problem. It's not easy. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be a little bit different. I'd like to go back in time to say 25 years ago. When the rules and regulations of the ABC board operated out with three investigators and eventually ended up with four in the field. If they found something wrong, you had to appear and explain it to the board. It was a tough board. But when they come into your place of business, they just didn't come in to see if you had then we didn't have TAM cards. They come in and they checked your license, they checked your premises, they checked to see if you had all the proper signs up. They checked if you're fired, everything. They really went over your building really good, and I certainly appreciate it as an owner. Mr. Chairman, now the investigators are state law enforcement, and it seems like they all are interested in is just writing tickets. If an employee forgets his or TAM card, or driver's license, they'll write you a ticket. Mr. Chairman, I think 1 year in jail and a $5,000 fine. And plus you have to, when they do write that ticket, you have to go to court. And you have to stand before that judge. And maybe have to get a lawyer, because I sure don't want no $5,000 fine. I don't want no 1 year in jail. And, Mr. Chairman, no one likes to work under these conditions. Besides that, Mr. Chairman, as time goes on, administrations change. And I think things have gotten out of hand. It's bad for the industry and business. It's time for a change. And as all people here in this great state of Alaska, me being here a long time, Mr. Chairman, here in Kodiak, we have, like, our own liquor association that meets once a month under the direction of Carmen Lundy, along with CHAR. We have training sessions on enforcement of the laws, and CHAR sends down speakers and training. And something comes up, Carmen will get on the phone and tell the people what the changes are or the problems are so that can be corrected. Mr. Chairman, we support our community through providing police dogs with help for the police departments. We support sports for the kids. We support scholarships for students, and etc. We, Mr. Chairman, are asking you and the members of this committee for support on House Bill 125. This is an honorable thing to do and the right thing to do for our beverage industry and business. Thank you.
Thanks again, Mr. Bishop. Any questions? Well, thank you again. Looks like we got a few people queued up in Anchorage. Bob Klein, are you with us?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thanks again for taking the time to call in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Klein, and I actually have three portfolios that I bring to the table today, Mr. Chairman. The first is that I am an industry member of on the ABC board. As a board member, it's also my privilege to serve as the current chair. I've served about 14 years on the ABC board, and that's run over more years than I can remember because, as you know, ABC members serve at the pleasure of the governor, and I have served through several governors, beginning with Governor Cooper. And the latest, Governor Parnell has this month asked me if I would continue. So I was off and on again. During this time, I've seen the board operate under three directors. I've seen the board reporting to Department of Public Safety for administrative purposes, and I've seen the board reporting to Department of Revenue for administrative purposes. I am very proud of the ABC board. We have a long history of being one of the most effective boards among all the states, and I'm especially proud of the current staff. Director Shirley Gifford has a long, successful career in law enforcement in Anchorage and Kenai. Our enforcement supervisor, Bob Beasley, has a long and successful career in law enforcement as well, primarily in rural areas. And the board has an experienced, well-trained, dedicated enforcement staff supporting it. ABC has an effective record of enforcement. It's impressive, and it will continue regardless of the department that handles our administration for us. And I take exception to anyone who would lead you to believe that we would relax our vigilance or our effectiveness under any circumstance. My second portfolio is as a board member of State Char, where I also serve as the chairman of the Government Affairs Committee. You've heard complaints about the ABC compliance process. I assure you that is not the motivation of Char. Director Gifford, Supervisor Beasley, have been working very hard to assure that compliance checks are fair and objective, and they will continue to do so. But the motivation for the move by Char is twofold. And frankly, one is perception. When we're under DPS, the public perception is that we, the industry, is peopled by lawbreakers. Now, there may be some bad apples amongst us, but we, the hospitality industry, is in fact a huge group of hardworking people, and we represent a major resource for the state. The second is support. The second motivation is support. The Department of Public Safety is in the business of catching criminals. The Department of Commerce is in the business of helping businesses grow. That is Char's motivation. Finally, my third portfolio is as Director of Sales for Brown Jug Stores. We operate 20 stores in the Anchorage area in the Matsu Valley. We also do a brisk business in bush sales. I find it offensive that people suggest that by moving the ABC to Commerce, the troopers will no longer be concerned with alcohol problems in bush. Colonel Keith Millar, the trooper's current director, was just recently Captain Millar of Drug and Alcohol Enforcement. It's just unrealistic to expect anything but continuing cooperation. As a retailer of bush sales, we participate in the database set up by the Department of Public Safety and the ABC. It's run by the Department of Public Safety. So a casual observer would say, see, I told you so. But the fact is, this database is the outgrowth of many, many years of cooperation between the troopers, ABC, and retailers. We at Brown Jug have a long history of providing information to troopers in pursuit of bootleggers. And this database was a natural outgrowth of that activity. In fact, we helped in the development and we beta tested the site for them. It was time, and it would have happened regardless of where the ABC reported. Mr. Chairman, I strongly support this move to Commerce and hope you'll see this that this move will not denigrate the effectiveness of the ABC, and yet will hopefully open for our industry new opportunities to grow and to grow stronger. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you again. Any questions for Mr. Klein? Mike Gordon. Mr. Gordon, are you with us?
Hey, yes, I am.
Oh, please state your name and affiliation, although I think most of us know who you are, but for the record.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, my name is Mike Gordon, and I'm the owner of Choku Charlers. You may have heard of this. Sometimes the legislature adopts our slogan.
Actually, yeah, some of us have seen your public service spot that's on TV right now on smoking.
Yes, I'm very, very proud of that. Well, Mr. Chairman, I was elected twice to the City Council in Anchorage and the Borough Assembly before unification. I'm one of 55 people in Anchorage with a hardcover original copy of the Charter of the Municipality of Anchorage embossed with my name on it and signed by all the Charter Commission members. I'm an Eagle Scout and a past president of Anchorage Downtown Rotary. I've served on many boards and organizations, and I've been appointed twice to the ABC board by two different governors, serving a total of approximately 10 years, mostly as chairman. I don't tell you this to toot my horn. I tell you this because I do not appreciate nor deserve being described as a member of a small group of miscreant licensees. The only violation I've had to deal with in 41 years until recently involved a catering permit for a nonprofit. Most of my tenure as an ABC board member was served while the board was under the Department of Revenue. I was, however, chairman of the board when Governor Murkowski moved the board to the Department of Public Safety. For the record, I was never consulted about the move. When I heard about it, I didn't like it, but I had no idea how much I was not going to like it. At the time, having the three public members of the board being made up of two law enforcement types and a heavy-handed lawyer, things were already problematic. The problem, as I saw it, was that this new board persona had little or no empathy for honest, hardworking business people and no concept of what it was like to run a small business or meet a payroll, much less an idea of the cost of being officially closed down for a week or so. Draconian, punitive punishments were being meted out over my objection without a thought for the damage being done or the precedents being set. I believe this string of precedents has created irreparable harm to the fair handling of the punishment of licensees. The old board was every bit as responsible, was every bit as hard on irresponsible or recalcitrant operators as the present board is. The old board, however, had the common sense to differentiate between hardworking, honest business people and crooks. In the eyes of the new board, we're all the same. The old board would never have dealt with the issue of an expired TAM card. It would have been handled by an investigator who would have told the licensee to get it renewed and presented to the ABC board office within a couple of weeks or face the consequences. Presently, the investigator busts the licensee or the employee who faced the board, who then faced closure of the business on the first offense. Yes, closure for an administrative matter that should not even reach the board level. I saw businesses during the last months I was chairman of the board closed down for a week for a first offense of serving a minor with no previous infractions for 40 years. I was shocked. Can you imagine how shocked the licensees were? Not long after the transfer to the Department of Public Safety, I was summoned to Commissioner Tandesky's office. Long story short, he wanted me to get rid of the director so he could maneuver one of his people into the position and made a number of accusations about the director and the ABC operation. Before I left, and he had joked to me about the unmarked van in my parking lot at Choku Charlie's, I suggested the commissioner send me a memo detailing his issues with the director, which he did. I immediately took up the issues with the director, and the issues were corrected, and the director remained at his post, which is not what the commissioner had wanted. The relationship was a rocky one after that. When the administration changed and Monaghan became commissioner, I initiated the contact to see if I could develop a better working relationship. I had dealt with Monaghan when he was the Anchorage police chief, felt I had a good relationship with him, and thought he was a fair-minded person. In the course of a one-hour conversation, Monaghan told me four times that the governor did not want an industry member to be chairman of the board. Never mind that the chairman had always been an industry member and is selected by the board itself, not the governor, and certainly not the commissioner. My reaction was to continue doing my job. I thought that if the governor wanted me to step down, she could tell me, or remove me for that matter. I was the appointed chairman of a quasi-judicial body and did not answer to the commissioner. It wasn't long before Investigator Hamilton started making regular stops at my business. This was before drawings were being used. He failed to get past my door. He failed to get past my security at the door, so he showed up at 11 a.m. with a minor and still couldn't get in. Since they are called compliance checks and not stings, why would they send a minor to my establishment at 11 a.m. when no self-respecting minor would possibly be interested in having a drink at Choku Charlie's? Finally, obviously having closely observed my operation, Hamilton got us by sending in an older-looking girl immediately before my security personnel clocked in and during the bartender shift change from day to night. Customers witnessed Hamilton and the minor high-fiving it outside the bar afterwards. Two bartenders served the girl. The first was exonerated by a jury at a cost to her of $27,000, and the other had her charges dropped to a misdemeanor charge outside Title IV. The state made a full press for a conviction, including visiting TAR offices, where they said, in effect, they were going to get the chairman of the ABC board. In the end, it was obvious the bartender had been entrapped. Making a mistake is not a crime. I resigned from the ABC board feeling I was wearing a target on my back and unwilling to sacrifice my business for a non-paying civic duty job. Scroll forward a couple of years. In August 2010, Investigator Hamilton brought a minor to Choku Charlie's three times in 45 days. Third time, my bartender served one of them. After an expenditure of $10,000 in legal fees and numerous postponements by the state of Alaska, the case was dismissed without prejudice by the state. Bartender, one of the best I've ever had, and who had worked for us for 15 years, quit and will no longer work in the industry. I subsequently wrote a letter to Director Gifford enclosing a copy of the dismissal and asked that the case be closed. I thought it was a done deal. But in step with the new and friendlier face of the ABC board described to you by Director Gifford, she wrote me back saying in part, quote, "It does not appear the reason for the dismissal had anything to do with the merits of the case. As you know, the result of a criminally prosecutable case does not automatically affect administrative notice of violation." What? I had no such idea. I guess from now on, if the director of the ABC doesn't like the reasons for a district court third judicial district dismissal, the licensee is still guilty and must deal with the ABC board. Director Gifford did say she would be happy to arrange for an administrative hearing or a meeting for me with the board. She is now in possession of a letter from my attorney, for which we have yet to receive a response. On top of this, Director Gifford apologized for the three compliance checks, quote-unquote compliance checks, within those 45 days, explaining that duplicate licensees will no longer be included in the pool for random selection. I have five of them. This was after years of multiple compliance checks of my business and the expenditure of at least $50,000 in legal fees. I wonder if it had anything to do with these forthcoming hearings. Finally, I'd just like to say that Director Gifford should be willing and able to do her job no matter in what state division the legislature wishes to house the ABC. Why should it make any difference to her personally? Thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Gordon? Thanks again. Bob Wynn, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name.
My name is Bob Wynn. I'm the general manager at Blue Central at the Chef's Inn, and I too just wanted to speak on behalf on support of HB 125. And again, state basically what has been reiterated, what's already been stated. It seems that through the time with the changes from the Department of Revenue over to the Department of Public Safety, we've seen a much more punitive and different attitude towards enforcement from the ABC board. And I think that moving it over to revenue would bring us back to what we really want, that support of the business community. I think that we've lost touch with that, and it would be greatly appreciated to make that move. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jeff Jesse, are you with us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Jesse. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. I don't think there is any question, and certainly not in my mind, that licensees and applicants for services from the ABC board are entitled to be treated with respect and dignity. and to have their concerns addressed. To that end, I understand that Ms. Gifford has now prepared a matrix which lays out all the various ways in which licensees and applicants can have their concerns be addressed. They range from more informal approaches. In the case of enforcement, there's a supervisor that could be contacted. In the case of licensing, there's another supervisor that could be contacted. I understand that Ms. Gifford is making her own telephone number and email address available so that licensees and applicants can contact her directly. I understand that there is the opportunity to approach the board at a time assigned on the agenda to present concerns. And in addition to that, licensees and applicants can appear at the ABC board meeting and testify during public comment. In the event that these internal options are not considered to be adequate, individuals can also go on the public safety website and make a complaint to the Department of Public Safety. And finally, clearing up an item that apparently was in dispute, a complaint can be made to the State Ombudsman's Office, which then provides an independent view of what the state agency, in this case the ABC Board, has done. It's important that licensees and applicants take advantage of these opportunities to use due process to have their concerns properly addressed. Until there's demonstrated activity in using these various approaches and options, in my mind, talking about where the ABC board lives is really avoiding the main issues that I think we need to deal with and which this bill brings up. Representative Johnson in the last hearing referenced the cost of underage drinking in the state at over $360 million. And he asked whether that was considered a success. Well, we certainly do not consider that a success. And in the course of looking into this issue, one of the areas that I found some data, and I think all of you have a chart in front of you in the hearing room, is the rate of illegal sales to minors of alcohol compared to tobacco. It is quite disturbing to me that the rate of illegal sales of alcohol to minors has consistently been higher than the rate of illegal sale of tobacco to minors. In my view, this is absolutely inverse to the public policy that the state should be setting. If anything, our alcohol sales to minors, our illegal alcohol sales to minors, should be lower, should be less than illegal sales of tobacco to minors. Now, I might point out that this rate of illegal sales to minors is at these levels, even considering the fact, as was testified to at the last hearing, that now photo lineups of potential underage purchasers are shown to ABC board members, and any of those pictures which a majority of the board feels indicates a person who looks 21 years of age or older are not used in order to buy alcohol. Well, I'm not aware that this legislature has changed the law to say that it is illegal to sell alcohol to a minor who looks less than 21 years of age. So if those people were not excluded, I would expect this rate of illegal alcohol sales to minors to be even higher than it is in the data that we have today. In my view, what we really should be doing is sitting down with industry, with the ABC board, and with others, and start looking collaboratively at what can we do to drive down this rate of alcohol sales to minors. This, in my view, is the public policy issue that needs to be addressed, not a game of musical chairs of trying to move the agency between revenue to public safety and off to commerce. We've got to get to these underlying issues that are eating away at the fabric of our society. Thank you very much.
Now, thank you for joining us. David Devaney, are you with us?
William Devaney?
David's what I have, but I'll settle for William.
Well, they call me Dale, but thank you, Chairman. I'm the administrator of the Delta Clearwater Moose Lodge, and I feel the Alcohol Control Board belongs to the Department of Commerce to provide education, training, and business support for Alaska's beverage retailers. Instead of sending recent letters like all moose lodges in the state received from the ABC Board requesting bogus membership cards for employees of the ABC Board and other peace officers for the purpose of sting operations to show fairness to other license holders. First off, being 21 is a requirement of membership in the Loyal Order of Moose, and I'm sure all other private clubs. You also have to have a current membership card to purchase anything from the Loyal Order of Moose. Issuing bogus membership cards is a violation of our bylaws and federal regulations governing 501c-8 organizations requiring us to vote for our membership. In closing, we have always allowed peace officers access to our facilities, and the ABC Board can and does walk in at will. And we don't serve alcohol to our kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you again for taking the time to join us today. Bill Bubble, are you with us? Bubel.
Alaska.
My apologies.
You okay?
Yeah. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Yes, sir. That's Bill Bubel, Pump House Restaurant, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Please continue.
Okay. I've been fortunate to be in a license see for 33 years at Fairbanks, and I've seen this change on the ABC board through the period of time. When I first got here, they had an office in Fairbanks, and they had a secretary, and they had an administrator, and you could go in there and ask questions and fill out forms and renew your licenses and get help. And then they'd come into your facility, and they'd check your operation over, make sure you're complying, and if you had a question about something, they'd point something out they'd like you to take care of. And that was kind of an administrative relationship. And if you had a problem, you know, they'd help you deal with it, and if they felt that you had problems, they would say, you better take care of them. And so this relationship worked out really well, and through the time, it's gotten more restrictive to where they just had in one person that was kind of the local representative, and he would go around and do compliance checks and that kind of thing, and nobody did it. And he would help you also. Then they did away with, basically, with the office and moved it into the troopers, where that individual is never there because he's out doing things and he has to get back with you a day or two or so to answer questions. And the only way you get any administrative help is if you make the phone calls or send the fax down to Anchorage and then try to deal with that. So the ABC board basically has become, you know, as from a service standpoint to us, almost a non-entity, because you can't, you go to the troopers, you gotta go through a, you know, a locked door if there's somebody there, or even down at headquarters in Anchorage. So it just becomes a kind of a, you know, police state type atmosphere. And it seems like that makes it just a little bit different. And the attitude of the individuals that were once in Fairbanks, we're fortunate to have some, you know, a good individual, and he does a good job, but, you know, he is predicated on his actions on what's directed by the board. And so consequently, now when you see him, you're looking for a citation or a problem or something of that nature. And it makes it, you know, a very difficult relationship. And the thing is, licensees now, with the way the rules and regulations have advanced, it is a huge risk for a licensee to do anything stupid, like letting individuals get drunk on their premises or allowing you know, underage people to come in and drink. So they're very cognizant of trying to stay in business and training their people to follow those rules, because they have way too much to lose to by making a little bit of extra money by, you know, selling a couple of drinks to kids or drunks. And so consequently, I think all in all, the industry itself, you know, does a pretty good job on the problem. Unfortunately, the problem is bigger than the industry, and a lot of the pressures that are out there in the public, you know, Mothers Against drunk driving and all that. Nobody denies that there's drunk driving problems and that the kids drink, et cetera, et cetera. But I think if you shut down all the bars, it wouldn't change those kinds of statistics dramatically, because booze is available and people figure out how to get them. And you can take statistics like the gentleman before us with the underage drinking, and I don't. You find that's just the opposite from some of the statistics that I've seen, that all of that has improved substantially. And the thing is about moving it to the Department of Commerce, which is honestly what I recommend, is we get back to more of an administrative function, because the problem is more of a social thing. And the individuals, including the ABC board and including the various organizations like CHAR and the individual licensees, can come up with programs more to educate and instead of condemn, and that, because you have more of a dialogue, an open dialogue, instead of, you know, criticizing the individuals that may come back and haunt you with an extra inspection or an extra kid coming through your facilities or whatever. You know, I've sent in one of the things that I've seen is that on these sting operations is that a good percentage of these kids that come in here get inspected, but the individual that is reading the license misreads it. And I noticed when I've gone through the various cards there that the most important thing there, an individual's date of birth, is the tiniest thing that you read. And those license dates should be out so paramount that somebody that needs glasses to read it can read it. And that was CHAR is making that recommendation with DOT, the way they change the licenses. And some of these little simple things would solve a tremendous amount of problem. And money is also a big issue. There's a tremendous amount of money being thrown at the state and into the local agencies for these enforcement issues. So it's tough for our department to turn that stuff down. And consequently, there's more supervision, more et cetera, et cetera. A lot of social pressure, and I don't know if that really solves the problem, but I guess most everybody has said about the same thing, and I'd have to vote to try to get it back into more of an administrative role and have a better working relationship. I think in the long run there's more progress with that kind of an operation. I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Crystal Schoenrock, are you with us?
I am.
How's the weather?
I'm Crystal Schoenrock. I have the Foreman's Bar in Nikiski, and I'm also a secretary for KBHR.
Now, please continue.
I just got this yesterday, so I'm kind of new on this, knowing everything. But I believe that everyone in the liquor industry should have a TABS card. In fact, I just went and renewed mine today, and I have a new bartender that's getting hers this afternoon, because it teaches you a lot on the laws and what you have to look for. So I agree with that. But, you know, what more can the bars do? Whenever I have a big function with live music or whatever, I'm either a designated driver or I hire a designated driver, so my people who are drinking don't have to drive. Or I pay for a cab. Or somebody who's a designated driver that will take them home. And we definitely do not serve underage kids. And we have the sting, and we got the card. But these troopers now have more authority. So in my opinion, instead of going out and catching thieves and the vandalism and the break-ins and their little drugs and stuff, they're sitting around the bars waiting for somebody to leave. And if you're on a main road, you got one at both ends of your driveway, so they're going to get you going one way or the other. And I've called the troopers out there. My bartender had an incident one night where a guy was flicking her in the face. She called me. I said, call the troopers. They never showed. I finally called them and asked them why. Their story was, my bartender was too evasive that they weren't coming out. And I said, evasive? By how, what? By what means? She wouldn't go outside and get the number, license plate number of the car or the vacant color of the car. My opinion was, she's not supposed to go out from behind that bar, and what would have happened if he'd have beat her up, molested her, killed her, whatever? Why is she supposed to do the trooper's job? No, we need to get it out of here and get it back into the Department of Cops, because we've already given these, like a little Gestapo, they got more power than what they need right now. They need to do what we pay them for, to take care of our personal property, theft, vandalism, break-ins, and get these little meth heads caught and get them done with. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Crystal. Bernadette Bradley, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Bernadette Bradley. I own the Bradley House in South Anchorage. I have not had any notices of violations, and I've passed four stings. But I still feel like the ABC board is trying to catch me or my staff doing something wrong. I've always practiced due diligence in my training and retraining. I am not perfect, nor is my staff perfect, nor is anyone else for that matter. Here's an example. Director Gipper testified that all is well with the ABC board. I can attest that something is still amiss. And I think it has to do with what the administration has to deal with in the volumes of paperwork. As past president of the Old Seward Ocean View Community Council just last week, I received notification from the ABC board of two package store licensees coming to Huffman. The ABC board failed to realize that O'Brady's is a full beverage dispensary and Taproot no longer operates in our area. I warned the O'Brady's owner that the councils may protest his license since it's been notified it's going to be a package store. He contacted the ABC board and corrected their errors. The negligence of proper information distributed on this document put the owner's business unnecessarily at risk. This is the most recent example I have. The one that was most disturbing to me was last August. The council directed me to get a copy of a licensee's file, and they could not find it in the office. I can assure you this never happened prior to Public Safety being the administrator. Before Public Safety, the ABC board worked with licensees. I remember they and the licensees did the cops and shops where undercover police officers would work side by side with owners and see firsthand what the owners had to deal with. The officers arrested the minors with improper ID on site, without criminalizing the owner. I am proud to say my training in being a good operator came from prior to the ABC board in public safety. I believe public safety and its staff truly have good intentions in how they administer licensees, but it's from a police officer's point of view. I am a business owner, not a criminal. They do not need to be spending our valuable tax dollars on someone like me. I believe someone in Commerce would have figured this out a long time ago and focused tax dollars in teaching owners how not to get a notice of violation and use police for enforcement on the few problem licensees. I strongly recommend that you support House Bill 125 and move the ABC Board in Commerce where it can handle the volumes of administrating paperwork and let public safety do what they do best, enforcement. Allow Commerce and the industry to rebuild a good relationship so I and other licensees in Alaska can go back to being focused on commerce matters, like generating jobs, bringing in tourist dollars, and helping our economy grow without fear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bradley. Sylvia Villamides.
Hello, I'm here. My name is Sylvia Villamides. I'm the director of Anchorage Char. And, of course, I'm here in support of House Bill 125. Anchorage Char represents over 350 members, and that includes multiple licenses. Before becoming the director of Anchorage Char, I was working for a nonprofit whose mission was to serve the underserved. With that said, when I started working for Anchorage Char, I was looked at as the bad liquor people. Well, 9 years later, and I feel that we have become collective and vital in our community, meaning that not only we get involved in our community by making donations to many nonprofits, but we have many training programs in place to educate our members. In Anchorage, our licensees have faced many challenges with the ABC enforcement officers. The industry is not against compliance checks or its enforcement. However, we are totally against the way the operation is being conducted. A few months back, downtown bars here in Anchorage were hit in abundance with compliance checks conducted by both ATP and ABC. I feel that together we can find solutions to any problems by educating our members in our community. At this time, the industry feels that they are treated as criminals and as a good citizen. Our industry is not for serving minors nor allowing drunks on premise. As a matter of fact, the industry helped draft civil penalties ordinance legislation for minors in conjunction with Senator Kevin Meyer, which currently, again, with Senator Kevin Meyer's help, we increased the amount of the civil liability penalty to $1,500. Also here in Anchorage, with the help of the Alaska Highway Safety Office, we have a program called Off the Road. Off the Road is a program that will help you take your car, get home if you are at a local establishment and you need a ride if you feel that you had a little bit too much to drink. It's free to the patron and it's fun for the community. Also in Austin, we have the guidance and the help for the bars and operators so that we can help them with their civil penalty process. We will not legally represent them in court, but we will do all the paperwork for them. And the key here is that we, the industry, do not want any minor in our premises. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Duran Powell.
Hello, Chairman. My name is Duran Powell. I've been in the industry for 30 years now. I'm the nighttime and general manager at Joseph Charlie. A lot's been said today about the ABC sting, but the way they are executed are very important, and they're very reflective of the percentages of the failure rates that we see, the numbers from the state. And the reason we know this, we hear a national security consultant that designed stings for the state of California. And he pointed out some really big differences to the way the state executing their stings here in Alaska versus the national standards. And we went to trial with Investigator Hamilton, and we asked him if he'd read those national standards. It's a handbook from the Department of Justice, and he hadn't read them. And so I can only assume that they're just sort of doing this on their own. Recently, the state has changed and added the minor board where they screen the minors. But along with that, we've also seen recently minors being used that are minorities that are hard to describe or for me to be appropriate guessing an age. The last one we saw come through was a young man who was black and he was bald. He could have passed for 27. And on our videotape, it shows the bartender carting the two customers prior to him coming in. So she was doing her job, but obviously she felt this guy looked like he was 27 and was old enough to buy a beer, and she failed. Part of the other problems is that, you know, on the national standards, the stings are supposed to be designed so that the clerk can pass reasonably. You're not supposed to use one of the 245 different obscure federal IDs that are floating around out there. You're supposed to use the state of Alaska ID in the state of Alaska. You're supposed to use, the minor's supposed to use a state of Alaska driver's license, a recognizable ID so the clerk and look at it as something they're familiar with. The problem with the obscure using the IDs we've seen used in the past here in the state of Alaska, for example, a military dependent ID. And the problem with that is the date of issue, the date of expiration, and the date of birth are all closely listed in the same type style, and it's confusing to the clerk.
And you're not supposed to design those things so that the clerk gets confused. It's an issue for us when we are defending these cases. You know, we see the stings occurring at shift change. Well, what are the odds that the investigator would walk through the door at shift change? And I know personally from two bartenders in town that have been failed stings right as they're changing their bank out at shift change. We've got videotape of the minor and investigator Hamilton wandering through the bar for 20 minutes until the bank comes out and the bartenders are swapping their banks out one for the other, and then he sends the minor up to the bar to order a beer. We're not serving minors, but we're getting caught in stings. We arrest over 100 minors a year at Chilby Charlie's. If we fail one sting, we get no consideration for that. We've got 64 video cameras, we've got a metal detector on the front door, barbed wire on the fences and alarms on all the doors. We're just a hair away from operating a prison. We're supposed to be a hospitality operation. And yet, if you try hard enough, the state tries hard enough in designing a sting that they alone know what the parameters are, and they come into our premises and execute a crime that they've designed, we're the ones that get held up for it. We've got 80 employees that all lose their jobs for a week if one of the employees has a TAM card that fails. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because that's the tone of the ABC board that we're dealing with right now. There's no mercy. There's no understanding. It's you're going to get closed for a week, and that's fair. And if you get if something else happens, a second offense, that's a two-week closure. Nancy, the lady that used to own the Hog Brothers Cafe here in Anchorage, got caught in a sting. First offense, first time in 30-plus years, she got closed for 2 weeks. She decided it wasn't worth it. She hung it up. She sold her business. She walked away. She was so disgusted with the process that she got ground up in. The reason I bring these things out is that the state could eliminate a lot of complaints that they're having by designing the stings so that the clerk has an opportunity to pass, as opposed to designing the stings so that the operation fails and we get close. That's my statement. Are there any questions?
Nope. Thank you very much. We're down to one last person in Anchorage. Michelle Powell, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Michelle Powell. I've been a bartender in Anchorage, Alaska for 16 years. I would like to see the ABC board move into the Department of Commerce. I'm a professional and have been working as a bartender for 16 years in a licensed establishment. I would like to be treated as a pharmacist, a beautician, or an attorney would be professionally. I have witnessed the change in the tone of the ABC board over the last 6 years. The prior relationship with the board and the industry used to feel more cooperative. I thought there was a sense of unity. In 2006, I was an unsuspecting and unwilling victim of a minor stink, which I did not have a fair chance at passing. The investigator was in our establishment for at least 15 minutes on a Wednesday late afternoon, waited for shift change, brought in a minor that looked to be over 25. She was the only person I served that day. It made no difference that I had all the record and a recorded and written reputation for catching minors through IDs on credit cards and or just by checking IDs, or that I even had arrested a mother for giving her 15-year-old a beer in our establishment, or that my establishment arrests at least one minor a weekend. I was familiar with Title IV and knew if I did not fight the two misdemeanor charges, one being allowing a minor on premise, two serving a minor, that a future second conviction would be a felony charge. I did not allow or bring a minor onto my premise. I did not knowingly or willingly serve a minor. 11 months later, in trial, it was unanimously decided by a jury of my peers that I was not guilty of either charge. The experience was emotionally exhausting. The financial cost to keep my career intact was over $27,000. How many people in the industry can afford to sell their home or turn over their retirement to fight the state to keep their jobs? We have heard it stated that the way minor stings are conducted have changed. We have heard how productive and cooperative the ABC board is with APD and state troopers. But what about the relationship with the industry the ABC board is supposed to be representing? I believe there would be a significant change in attitudes by taking away the stigma of the Department of Commerce and moving the ABC or C board into the Department of Commerce. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one last person scheduled. Sharon Whittle from Homer. I'm probably mispronouncing your last name, but are you with us, Sharon?
I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, could you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Yes, my name is Sharon Whitehouse. I'm in Homer, and I've been a public health nurse for about 17 years, and I'm now coordinating a needs assessment on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. I'm representing that group, which is called the Communities Project. And we're a partnership of about 50 community organizations, and in our needs assessment, substance abuse was named as a top community concern. We did over 100 community interviews and 1,400 surveys, and people consistently told us that they feel like our communities give people a very mixed message about appropriate use of alcohol and drugs. Teenagers especially gave us that message. We oppose House Bill 125 because our focus is prevention, but we really need support from law enforcement to promote positive values and healthy choices in our communities. I'll be brief. I think you've heard the details. We believe that moving the ABC board will result in a weakening of efforts to prevent unlawful access to alcohol by minors. And it would also be costly and disruptive to the efficient operation of the agencies. We understand that problems such as you've heard today do happen that cause hardships for individuals in the industry, but we believe that the compliance check program is running pretty darn efficiently in its random selection of licensees for checks, and we don't think that the goals met in fiscal year 2011 could be met if this change is made. So we encourage you to oppose HB 125, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you very much. Is there anybody else online that would care to testify that hasn't testified at this point in time? Seeing none, or hearing none, is there anybody else in the room? With that, we're going to close out public testimony and bring up Shirley Gifford. I believe Ms. Gifford has is going to answer some questions that were raised at the last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman, Representative Olson, members of House Labor and Commerce, a couple of questions did come up.
Name and affiliation for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm director for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. At the hearing last Wednesday, a couple of questions did come up. I did answer those questions via email, but just for the record, one of the questions from Representative Seaton was if we were switched over to Department of Commerce, if we would have access to APSIN, and I had erroneously testified that I didn't think that we would because of the strict DPS firewall to APSIN, but I was mistaken on that, and that was an error, and we would have access to APSIN. One question that's still out there is what kind of case management we would use. Currently, we use APSIN for our case management, and DPS is going to be switching over to the Alaska Records Management System, ARMS, in the future, probably by the end of summer. And if that happens, we could be facing a one-time licensing fee of about $7,200 to get into the system if we're not under DPS. DPS has a pool of licenses for DPS, but anybody else coming into the system may have to purchase the licenses. So that's that on case management. The other question from Representative Miller was wanting to know if there was some kind of a comparison between compliance checks of the time when ABC Board was under the Department of Revenue and then currently, and there are no records to show what that was under revenue. I do know that the structure was a little bit different. I know this from being police chief in Soldotna. The structure was different in that the funds for compliance checks went out to local police departments. I left there in 2003, and that was the year that the ABC board switched over to the Department of Public Safety. And So prior to that, I know that the money was going to local police departments, and then it was decided later, and I'm speaking from kind of word of mouth here, that the record keeping, it was hard to keep up with that. And of course, with federal funding, you have to be able to report, you know, what the figures are pretty accurately. And that was difficult to do when the money was being spread out across the state, and that was when the long-term non-perm person was hired for DPS to do compliance checks. And Investigator Hamilton started his position in August of 2005. So we don't have any comparison to show between revenue and under DPS.
Any questions for Ms. Gifford?
May I say other things, Mr.
Chairman? Oh, certainly.
Okay. Okay.
You've got 7 minutes,
sir.
Oh, I have 7 minutes? Okay. I appreciate Mr. Jesse talking about the complaint procedures that I wrote up at the beginning of the week. So I won't go into that. That's in your packet. And I would hope that that would assist the industry in some different avenues to attack some of these issues that they feel are not being heard currently. I can assure you that I want to work with the industry. I feel that I have worked with the industry to the best of my ability, to the best of the resources that I have available. I understand that they would like to do other things. They would like to attack the problem of these underage parties, and to that extent, I attended the Anchorage Police Department School Resource Officer meeting. They have 18 resource officers, and I went to that meeting, and one of the things that I went there for was to talk about these underage parties and what is being done about that. With just four investigators, I can't do everything. So I do have that that pool of money, the grant money, to do compliance checks, and that's done. That's a charge that I inherited in coming into the agency. I believe in compliance checks. I think the industry has testified they believe in compliance checks, that they are necessary to ensure that people are not selling to underage persons. The University of Alaska, Anchorage, did a research study, and they found that in terms of, we talked about cost a little bit last time, and that the cost was $316 million. And in this more current study of 2007, they show a cost of $320 million being the cost of underage drinking. And we are, in terms of the total cost, we are 39th in the nation, which is great until you take a look at the cost per youth capita. And we are number one in the nation. So the cost per youth is, I think it's like twice the cost of other states across the nation. I heard Ms. Burkhart, she had done her own research within her agency, and I had also done a research project. I took a look at the National Alcoholic Beverage Control Association survey book of 2010 and went through the book and just wanted to get an idea of what agencies or what departments or state agencies that their alcoholic beverage control boards were housed under. And the vast majority were either under Department of Public Safety, local police, Homeland Security. One, North Dakota, is under the Attorney General's office. About 18 of those agencies, or about 18 others, that was about 19, 18 others were under independent departments or organizations. They were their own independent commission. There were 10 under revenue, and then two that I could see were under something similar to commerce, and they're under the business regulation, and that's Florida and Rhode Island. And it was interesting to do a calculation on what the national average was for success rate in compliance checks. And in averaging the 22 states from where I was able to receive information that gave information in the book, the average came out to 80% unless I subtracted Florida, and then that drove it up to 84%. Florida had about an 11% success rate, and they're under the business regulation. So I thought that was kind of a that was striking to me. I thought it was pretty telling. Some of the things that I hear today, we have either looked into the complaints, we're currently looking into the complaints, currently handling those complaints, or they're new complaints I've not heard of. So I have no problem looking into those complaints. I know that I give answers that are not always, they're not the answers people want to hear always. My position is to assist the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board in controlling the manufacturing, sales, possession, bartering of alcoholic beverages. And if my position is supposed to be something different than that, then I guess I look forward to hearing what that would be. I know that I and my staff are doing the best job that we can do. We're not perfect. I think there's room for improvement. And to that extent, I've developed about an 8-page survey where the survey will be sent out. I yet to decide, and I'm looking for feedback as well, what period of time does the survey need to go out. I'm expecting maybe over the next year to send this survey out and get feedback. I don't think that in this forum you'll hear from all of the people that we've served who are satisfied with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. We have 1,800 licensees. We're working with licensees every single day, and I hear accolades. People are satisfied with the work we do. That doesn't mean we're perfect and we do a perfect job, but we have no intention to try to shut a place down. That's not our job, but to hold licensees responsible and accountable to the laws that you folks wrote. That is our guide. I think that's about it. I wanted to, Mr. Carl mentioned that at Chena Hot Springs, that was a trooper, but that was actually my investigator. And I appreciate that you've asked him to send you documentation on that, and I would like to send you our side of the story on that as well. And that's.
Any questions for Ms. Gipper? I think it should be obvious. Oops.
I'm sorry.
Representative Sadler.
A general question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've heard some interesting stories from both sides of the issue here today in person and teleconference. Without defining the terms exactly, about how much effort from the enforcement agents goes towards enforcement and how much to business assistance, as it's been defined here, you know, helping with signs, helping. It's an unscientific question, but what's your answer?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, we have four investigators and one enforcement unit supervisor. One investigator does the compliance checks. Two investigators do inspections. And one investigator is about three-quarter time inspections and investigations and assisting people, and the other quarter time is compliance checks. The vast majority of our work is working with the industry to ensure that their premises are in good operation and appropriate and following Title IV. So that's the majority of our work. Compliance checks is one small portion of what we do at the agency. Licensing, I've got a licensing side of the house and enforcement side of the house. So that is a small part. I'm sorry, I can't give you a very good percentage.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
See, no further questions. It's not my intention to do anything without the full committee. I think we need input from all the members. So I'm going to hold this bill over, and we're going to adjourn at 5:02.